Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Join us live each week as we journey into the world of passion. Want to live life passionately? Finding your passion could be the difference between living life in the everyday and living life with meaning and purpose. Take these weekly lessons into life and business. Interact with your host, Tony Lontis, and her Passion Project facilitator, Peter Wallman, as we conduct a passion mapping exercise with Tony live on air. Passion is everything. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. You're listening to your host, Tony Lontis, today. And online with me is the wonderful Peter Wallman. Good morning, Peter.
Hi, Tony. How are you? It's been a week.
Yeah. What a hectic week. Let me just say, a hectic week. I had a birthday this week, so I decided that I wasn't going to work on my birthday, and that was a bad idea. Great idea for a birthday, bad idea for work, but it's all good. And then I had this wonderful passion mapping workbook to finish, which was, I would have actually liked to have spent more time doing that because it was quite interesting and fun. So, Peter, how was your week?
It's been really good, actually. It's very busy, you know.
Yes.
Moving my business from what was always face to face to online has been quite a challenge.
Tricky.
And part of that is what we're doing. But it's exciting, you know. And I've got a training program coming up with people from all around the world as part of it.
I guess by making it online, it really does open it up to worldwide participation, because we really shouldn't be constrained by distance when we have all this amazing technology to do this work online.
Absolutely, because we've had people coming for a long time saying, well, can I do this? Can I do a passion mapping program? And we have to say, we've got to fly so-and-so, or if someone comes near you, they can do it. Because I always, you know, thought that it needed to be face-to-face, but it's not. And I was wrong, as I said last week. It's exciting for me that it is as it is. But, you know, we've got people coming from, you know, Ghana and UK and Germany and Thailand and US, Canada, all over. Yeah. It's so universal. You know, that the work is so universal because it takes people to the essence of their humanness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was excited filling in the first workbook, and that's like just the intro. That's just the start, really. The start of the process. So I think it's going to be fantastic, and the ability for you to do that online with people across the world is going to be phenomenal. I still feel like a bit of a guinea pig, but I'm a happy guinea pig.
Yeah, I wonder, Tony, I'll get a journey map up, and if that's okay. And if you remember, you happy if I go through this for a moment?
Absolutely.
Has it come up? We began, and then it was a clear intention, right? So you've asked others in the process, have you?
I have.
And tell me what came up for you with other people's sort
of... I'm going to grab my notes, because I was a little worried about... There was no need to be worried, but I'm an anxious sort of person by nature. And so I sent out a little email asking people, telling people that I'm doing a personal passion mapping course, and asking these people for their opinions about three simple questions. And the first of those questions was, at what times have you experienced me as my most passionate, energized, and enthusiastic? And so lots of different answers, but number one, there was lots of Radio Tony. You're passionate when you're talking about interacting or doing Radio Tony. One of the other high things was whenever you're creating. Whenever you're talking about things that you're passionate about, women's rights, family dysfunction, sexual abuse, and then the other couple of things were most passionate when I'm talking about my vision of what I might do in the future and my courage to write my book. And then the second question was, when have you seen me at my best? And I'll just share with you one of my husband's thoughts. And he said, when we first started dating. And I'm like, what? You don't like me now? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, but I liked, you were really wonderful when we first started dating. I'm like, okay, need to recapture first dating. And then other people have said, my passion for helping people. Another person said, when you met Shane. Other people said, when you have clarity and when you're helping people. And then the third of those simple questions was, what three personal qualities do you most appreciate about me? And number one was, you're the most loving person I know, or variations to that theme. Trustworthy, reliable, accepting, respectful, open-minded, curious, kind, forgiving, organized, kind, very intellectual, say it as it is, no BS, honesty, non-judgment, accepting, dependable, loyal, respectful. So lots of similar things, which I found surprising because I sort of thought that there would be different things to different people, but they all seem to be similar. Is that the normal experience, Peter?
I don't think there is a normal experience in this work. We're all so uniquely different.
Yeah.
And usually, so that must have made you feel pretty good to get that sort of feedback.
It actually made me feel a little teary. So it was a lovely thing to do this week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess did you feel validated? I mean, this process is there to sort of validate who you are from an external perspective.
So I already knew pretty much a lot of those things, but it's nice. It's different when you hear them from someone else versus the dialogue that happens in your brain. So I know that I'm kind. I know that I'm loving. And just a side issue, and just in the attempt to be really authentic in this process. So I have a lot of rubbish going on in the background from external people in my life, and some of their dialogue is not any of this stuff. And so to be validated from other people that I still am this loving, kind person despite what the external rhetoric is, was also very good for me.
It's lovely. So it's I'll get back to the picture again. So is that model showing up on your?
Not yet.
Okay, I'll do it differently.
Oh, it's such a lovely graphic. There we go.
Okay. So we're about to slide down to the depth of who you are. Okay. So beginning intention, we talked about that last week.
Yes.
There are a couple of interesting freebies if people want them to check in. And the asking others, we've also left that process there for you to look at and play with. I think it's a really, really useful thing to do, to really see people, for people to see who you are. And... you know, whereas we tend to look at the worst in ourselves, other people mostly seem to look at the best in ourselves. So it's a very different experience.
Yes, agreed, Peter.
So, I'm glad that worked. And then the next part of the journey, which you've just done, is the exploration.
Yeah.
I mean, we call that exploration because you're exploring among all sorts of different experiences and beliefs, and you know, where are the sweet spots here? The reason we've got it in the unseen is because we can't actually see passion. It's all it's all sort of,
yeah, it's internalized, isn't it?
It's all internal, yeah. And I would like to just repeat again that for us, passion is just energy. It's life force.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's nothing unique about anyone and their passions. Although the collection is of passions they have is unique. So,
yeah.
We all have things that we love in life, and we also have things that make things important. But
yeah.
For different people, there's different perspectives on that, different words in that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where you've got to, and that's where you said you'd like to spend a little bit more time. You can always spend a little bit more time before our next session. Now, from here, we'll be doing a session offline, which
we will.
You won't be able to see, which is actually taking what I have here as passion discovery.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that at the end of, you know, towards the end. Yes. But that's getting to the unique sweet spot of all of the things that bring you alive. You know, there's a sweet spot in everything. And that's what we've sort of discovered. It's almost like our internal poetry.
Okay.
In fact, the next, I was planning to post as a freebie after the next session, something about our internal poetry.
Yes.
Now, the other thing I'd like to say early on is this journey is, it's really powered by passion.
Yes.
It's not just discovering passion. It's actually using this extraordinary life force that we're given. And how can we learn how to go to the source of that life force?
Yeah.
Which opens up extraordinary capacity. And then how can we take that and bring it into the external world? So this deep dive is almost like you're collecting gems, inner gems, which can then create like a foundation for living life out in the world. And the difference between this and other programs is that there's a, not only are they all coherent because they all the gems come from the same place.
Yeah.
But it's a comprehensive group of gems. There are lots of programs that look at purpose, or they look at vision, or they look at whatever.
Yes.
But I don't know of anything else that looks at the whole nature.
I was just going to say,
what do we really need in terms of living a magnificent life?
Yeah.
And I'll give it over to you in a second, but there's one of the challenges here is that I think we have two people living inside us anyway.
Yes.
There's the Tony now.
Yeah.
And the Tony who wants to come through.
Yes. Yeah.
So if I ask you, Tony, you know, how much are you living your potential? Out of a scale of 0 to 10, what would you say to me? Illustration.
I'd actually probably say maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah. And how can you say 5 or 6? Because you know deep down.
Because I've been 8 or 9 before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know somewhere there's a 10. Or a 9 or whatever. Well, we know
I hope
it.
So.
We know it. So not only do we have this sense of an internal sense of who we are, but also who we want to become. We know that. Yeah. But how we know it, I don't know, but we just know it.
Yeah.
And there's also what do we want to do in life.
Yeah.
So I just think that, and not only that, we have our spiritual dimension, we have our physical dimension, we have our all these different parts of ourselves, emotional self, and they're all present, and they all are like, to me, it's like this dynamic, wonderful dynamic interactions between all of these different aspects of who we are.
Yeah.
And the sad thing about the ego is that it stops us being dynamic in all of that. It says, this is who I am. This is what I want. I don't care what happens to anyone else. This is what I want.
Yeah.
So so the journey down here also is a journey of letting go of ego.
Yeah.
And, so I'm looking forward to taking this journey forward with you. And as I go back to this, we began intention, asking others, and the exploration.
Yes.
So could I come back to what did you learn through that process of self-exploration? This is a workbook which is about 30 pages. And has a lot of questions in it.
Some of the things that I thought I was most passionate about there's a couple of things that are higher on my passions list, which I found interesting. So I knew that creativity was quite important to me, but it actually came up as one of the most important ones. And abundance and wealth were right up there as well. And so the list that I thought I would get going in is similar, but different from what I thought. So that was interesting.
So,
and sorry, Peter.
No, you go.
And I found it really helpful to bring clarity to what I was thinking about, to have that sample of qualities in the back of the workbook. And so when I was thinking about a certain thing, being able to go back and go, well, it's really that, not that. That really gets to the essence of it better than what I'd written down, sort of thing. So that was really helpful part of the process as well.
So did you enjoy doing it?
I did. And I'd actually remember thinking I would like to actually revisit that again. It's probably a good thing to revisit again. When life is, I think at each part of your life, you're not the same as you were 6 months ago. So I kind of think that things like this are good at giving you clarity and making sure that you're in flow with your life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I've found through this work is that what people think they're passionate about is not necessarily what they're passionate about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
If passion is energy, which is our position, position on this, and something doesn't energize you, it can't be a passion.
Yeah.
And so people might say, well, you know, going and visiting, I'm passionate about going and seeing, visiting grandma.
Yeah.
But in fact, if you check that out energetically, there's no energy whatsoever, and it can actually be a contracting thing.
Yeah.
But our brains are saying, I should go and see grandma. I should put this on the list.
Correct.
So we call him, excuse me. No, it's not the virus and it's not the
flu. I'm just thinking, whoa.
No, thank you. So, it's really interesting how we live life with all of these shoulds. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing, but it is important to know that we're doing something intentionally for some other reason than for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're visiting grandma for grandma, not for ourselves, because sometimes that can be. And so even to be able to distinguish between the shoulds and the wants.
And it's a tough thing to do when you start to question the shoulds in your life. I should do this or I should do that. Well, does that energize you? And if they're sometimes they're tough decisions, Peter.
Absolutely. And if you want to check whether they energize you,
Yeah.
Write down a list of 10 things that you should do and see how you feel.
Yeah. Okay. You'll
probably feel quite contracted and.
Yes.
And Yeah.
It's not the best word in the English vocabulary is should.
Yeah, we're using it in a particular way here.
Yeah.
And so there is the element of what we're called to do or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the element of who we are in the doing of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mentioned that passion maps, mentioned before that passion maps don't become coherent unless you deal with the being and the doing.
Yeah.
And it's not even the being and the doing, it's the being and becoming and the doing.
Yeah.
Because they're all parts of us.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about integration at an energetic level is that energies come together like this. They don't clash. Like ideas clash, you know, ideas clash with each other. But energies cohere. So we can deal with these different components. And a map actually represents that. But we'll get to that in a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
And you can explore that. So
we might take a quick break, and then when we come back, we've got Jolene ready online. So we'll take a quick break, everyone, and we'll be back with Jolene Bainey in one moment. Tony TV, inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other, delivering inspirational TV one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis. It's been lovely. You can leave or you can stay, but we're going to welcome Jolene. Hi, Jolene. How are you?
I am just fine. It doesn't look... Wait a minute. I got to start my video. There we go.
Yay! Hello. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, as well.
How is it going over in Arizona? So for our listeners, those people watching, Jolene is in Arizona, Phoenix, and she's a certified life coach and a licensed spiritual practitioner, amongst many other things. But today we're going to be talking about her involvement with passion mapping. So how is Phoenix at the moment, Jolene?
Well, like the rest of the world, we're just kind of living one day at a time. And it's interesting because it's really starting to be, this is day 45 for me.
Yes.
And so it's shifted and changed as you kind of look at, so what are the gifts in this, and getting less focused on the numbers and what's the, because as you know, the U.S. has experienced quite a unexpected and probably preventable pandemic here.
And
so Arizona is fine right now, but we're still sheltering in place.
Yeah. When you look at the numbers for the US, I'm an empath, and my empathetic soul is actually feeling a lot of grief and sadness, particularly for our fellow Americans at this time, because there are such a huge virus impact on you guys. And it may be quite a while before you're able to return to anything that resembles anything normal. And I'm not sure that we will return to what was.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to step into is what does that new normal look like, which if it doesn't include hugging, I'm not sure I'm going to relate well.
I'm with you, Jolene. I like my hugs and I'm missing that physical girlfriend contact. Yeah. Look, it's been lovely to have my husband home and to be working from home together, like alongside each other, but I really miss girl time. What about you?
Yeah, we in fact Sunday had a virtual wedding shower for one of my sons. They have to have a very, very scaled down wedding and couldn't have a full on shower. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's sweet, but just not
the same. So not the same. Yeah.
But we're hoping.
Yeah. So, Jolene, tell me a bit about your passion mapping process and how you got involved.
Well, I did used to live in Australia, so I knew Peter from Mutual Friends. Back in like, I think I moved back to the States in 2007. So I knew about passion mapping through my friends and you know, I was just, I'd taken a, well, very long story, but my journey into moving to Australia was kind of like a Wizard of Oz, Dorothy experience. And I was opening up to a lot of who am I really? Because I'd been married for 20 years and then divorced and got whooshed up into accepting a job in Australia. So I was very corporate at that time. And outer-driven, I will say. And same time to move back to the U.S. I didn't really want to move back, but it was time. And I had been following a lot of my inner, you know, getting my license as a spiritual practitioner. I made a firm decision not to go back into corporate because I really did want to leave that behind.
Yes,
I didn't know what to replace that with, really. And so my first visit back to Sydney, I sat down with another of my friends and he did my passion map with me. And I think was the beginning of me starting to realize that I had a lot of skills, certainly, but an inner knowing of how I could be of service. And that's on my passion map is being willing to be of service. And helping other people, because my journey was fraught with a lot of, you know, landmines and alcoholism and that I, you know, I was part of my previous marriage. So I was recovering and healing. So to me, that passion map was a very healing process of saying, you know, I have something that I want to step into. I didn't quite know what it was at that time. This was in 2009.
Yeah.
2008, I guess. And very quickly, I did discover that I wanted to be coaching people and helping people really discover their authentic self. And so that's what I stepped into becoming a passion map practitioner.
Okay.
So it was. So it's been a journey since then.
Okay, so you've been a facilitator slash practitioner of the passion mapping project, passion mapping for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And how have you found that for your clients?
Well, they're, you know, just like me, sometimes we attract the clients that have the most to teach us very often.
Yes.
So I do have a lot of clients that are looking for that. What is my expression in a career path or work? And so I have found that sometimes people have to get out of their heads and into that mind-body connection and really allow themselves to hear what it is that is their song, if you will.
Yes.
So that's where a lot of the people I'm working with have that question of, you know, how can I more fully express who I am? Or they may already be in the career path that they love, but they want it to be more. They want it to have more connection to who they really are. And so There's just been some people, some wonderful ways that people have discovered who they really are and come from that place and trust it. There's an awful lot of trust that's involved.
Yeah, yeah. So what sort of things have you seen people do after participating in their passion mapping?
Let's see. I need to mention that I have kind of specialized in my coaching as well as the passion mapping in helping people move from early recovery, addiction recovery, into rediscovering who they are. So some of the people that I've worked with are just rediscovering who they are after that journey of addiction and losing themselves.
Do you think, Jolene, that some of that addiction and addiction issues are related to people not following their passion or not knowing what their passion is?
Well, I think a lot of, you could get into a whole conversation about addiction.
Yes. Yeah.
Trauma. Most people have had trauma in their lives and they're really just self-medicating that. So their own idea of who they are just gets lost.
Yeah.
And so, and then there's that guilt and shame that gets, so there's a lot of therapy that has to do with getting to the point. I don't work with people in the very beginning of their recovery, but at a certain point where they're ready for a quantum leap from here's where my life has gone and I was rock bottom here and it's moving and I'm creating a better life and I'm discovering about myself. But the passion map is really that quantum leap that gives them a vehicle to go to be more forward thinking. And so the example of a young man who was, I think he was 26, 27, and he had had some pretty serious addiction through his late teens and into his early adulthood. And so he got himself into recovery. This was about 2 years before he got himself into treatment and had a really good, strong recovery for 2 years. And his therapist referred him to me to work with, his career path. What he wanted to do. And he came in so full of kind of shame, saying, I've wasted my life. My friends are graduated from college and they've got, they're financially. And I looked at him and I'm like, dude, you're 26. You have a in your life. There are so many people that wish they had the insight that you had now. But so we worked on his passion map in a way of what really made his heart sing, because he was doing construction, which he was fine, making money, but he didn't want to be in construction. And so many of the elements that came into it from his passion map were pointing toward somehow helping cultures or helping third world countries or something in that realm. It just was coming out of wanting to be Peace Corps or something like that. And really what came out to be is providing clean water for villages in Africa. And with his construction skills that he had, that, he could take what he knew but put it in a different direction. And so he wouldn't have put that together. I don't think he hadn't have let go.
Not at 26.
No. So it was really fun to see him light up and see that, oh my gosh, this would light me on fire. And so, I set him off on the end of the passion mapping process is kind of an action oriented, what are you going to do about it kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So set him off on starting to research all the different organizations that are out there that he could join up with, because he had the skills. He just didn't know what he wanted to do with them. So that was really one of the best examples I can think of.
I was just going to say, what a gift to give someone at 26. Because I'm approaching my mid-50s and only just discovering that stuff now. Like, what if I'd known that in my 20s?
Yeah. So I was 50.
Yeah.
really, I'm almost 65, just a couple short breaths away from 65 now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not done yet. So I think that's part of what I'm looking at my passion map now and just looking at, there's so many aspects of that that are just starting to open up. So I think that's also where people find that they just, their future opens up for them.
Have you found, Jolene, that one thing has sort of led to another that's incorporated all of your own unique passions? Is that been the what's happened for you?
Yeah. And it wasn't obvious. I have to say, you know, some people have a lightning bolt that goes off. And to me, it was like, well, this is pretty and this is nice and this makes me feel good. I still didn't know quite what to do with it. And so there are some exercises that you do after you've done your passion map to dig into some of the areas of, do you want me to show it real quick?
I'd love to, because I've only just started my work with Peter. So I don't know what I have ahead of me. Oh, it that's so pretty.
Mad Woman's Breakfast, to coin a Australian phrase.
And so is that the exact one that you did all those years ago?
Nope, I have that one too. That one.
My goodness.
But it's similar. So I've done maybe two iterations. But anyway, yeah, as you said, there are certain elements that are like core to me. And some of them were working with groups and helping people find their greatness, their authenticity, and travel was big.
I was reading your, sorry to interrupt, Jolene, I was reading your biography and I noticed that you have done lots of travel and that you combine travel with the work that you do. Do you still do the travel? Well, obviously not right now, but...
That's a bit of a worry because I've got a trip to Bali with 37 people next. It's not till next year, but yeah, this could be a game changer. But
yeah, because I had to cancel my trip to the Philippines. I've still got the November trip tentatively waiting, but it's not looking good.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping. I've just told everyone, listen, we've got a lot of time, and let's just know that this is at least something that we can look forward to. But anyway, yeah, that's what came out of that map though, because I had no idea. And it kind of was pointing toward opening up a bed and breakfast or some kind of
retreat. Yes.
But I didn't want to be tied down. And I just figure it out. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that I could take people on retreats all over the world. And so that was in 2009. Is when that like hit. And so I have been doing retreats ever since.
And there's something very special about Bali, isn't there?
Yeah, it really is. And it's I've been there 12 times now, most of them with groups. And I really want to go back just to support them because that culture is just getting slammed. No tourists. They've had downtimes before. But to just the islands closed. Like Nyepi, if you know what Nyepi is. When everybody, hides, it's like Nyepi every day. So anyway, but that's been my passion, is take people out and get them to see the world in a different way. And the retreats, the workshops are all about how what's standing in my way and how can I move forward and make changes, kind of a checkup of your life. And it's that's where bringing passion in, and what passion really is, and how you can use your own body to inform you what's right for you. Your body will tell you. That's what I like about the passion maps.
See, when you're talking about the travel passion, that gives me butterflies, because I love travel. I never did it in, I had my children early and in my 20s. And so I didn't do the whole travel thing, and I've only traveled like in my 40s and 50s. And every time I travel, I get that it is there's something special about interacting with people on different continents with different cultures. And the other thing is to even Western places that are very similar to us. So I love Canada, and Arizona is another place. I know a few people now. I know you there. Yeah, I'm just like, ooh, Arizona, I wouldn't mind going there, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah. And it does open up your mind to different things and different realities and gives you insight, and you get to talk to different people, and there's just something special about travel.
I really think I have on my map, I have it being radically inclusive, because I think, and if I was running the world, I would have, if I was the king of the world, I would have every single person after college do 2 years of Peace Corps or some kind of, you know, get them out, because your idea of the world expands when you
immerse
yourself into another culture.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But that is a lot of that wandering nomad life. Because I grew up on a farm in Iowa, which is like nowhere, in the middle of nowhere for 18 years. So I think that's where that desire to get out there and experience the world has
come. My goodness, you're going to, like, same. I grew up on a big property in the middle of nowhere, and then went immediately off to nursing. And whilst a lot of my other friends traveled, I didn't. I had babies instead. And to discover later in life just how wonderful travel is, like to go to Europe for the first time and experience the architecture and history, was mind-blowing for me.
That's another demographic, I guess, that I've worked with, people that are either nearing retirement or wanting a second career or some, you know, but a couple of people that I've worked with that have said, so what next? One gentleman in particular, this is actually in Sydney, but I was working with him, and he was he was going into retirement from banking and was trying to kind of open up to what life is. And what became really obvious as he got more in tune with who he was is that, well, and I don't, this is the thing about attracting people.
Yeah.
You most have that connection with, that his partner was an alcoholic. And he showed up like the second session with a mess, and she had gone into a binge, and the whole premise of the passion map went out the window or came home, really.
Yes.
But he could not move forward without truly addressing that aspect of his life. And it was just kind of like, okay. And I'm not sure he would. There was some shift that happened because he was doing this work, and his map actually was a figure of a man stepping forward with the shadow behind him, and stepping out of the shadow and into, you know, stepping forward.
Yes.
So that, that was.
And so you've sort of had both ends of like the beginning or starting of life and the end of life. Mm-hmm. And those people that are older and partake in the passion mapping process, do they still go on to really live their passion right up into their later years?
Yeah. Well, and another example is a friend of mine, so I have really kept very close. He, you know, he's in his late 60s, I guess, but he had this urge to, like, wanted to experience the passion map because he's talking about it all the time. But what came out for him was writing a book, and it may have been in the back of his mind somehow, but maybe something he just put off or made excuses. But this became so real to him, and his metaphor, every passion map has a somewhat of a metaphor behind it. His metaphor was a tree, like one of those cypress trees that's hanging on at the edge of an ocean on a cliff, that it's been windblown. And so all of, because he'd had quite a lot of trauma in his life, health issues and a lot of things. And that connection with how resilient he is and how deep his roots had to be. So he actually had a metaphor for his book at the end of, and he got excited about it because he could connect with that in a really energetic way. So, and he's writing his book. So,
that's a very, having written a book, it is one of the most challenging things you'll ever do, particularly, so mine was my memoir, and it was very challenging to write. Glad that I did it, but definitely a challenging thing to do.
Yeah, and probably part of the really difficult, because I'm putting off my book now, as I but not having that, like, what's the anchor, or what's the premise, what's that, how do you, framework around it. So that's what was so exciting for him, is go, oh, I could use this metaphor about, the tree and the, that there's still new growth at the end of those branches. There's all kinds of analogies that started to come out. So that was fun. That was a fun one.
So Jolene, my book was called Resilience. Memoir of a broken little girl discovering a woman of strength and beauty.
Love it.
So talk about
So
similar, been through a lot of stuff and come out the other side and having to be resilient and keep going no matter what, which has been, helpful in current circumstances. Absolutely. I think, I don't know if this is your experience too, but even the strongest of us have still struggled during this time, because it is unprecedented and it was out of the blue, and as strong and as good as most of us are, there's still that struggle about the unknown of what the virus has created across the world. And in Peter's case, having to morph into how do I deliver these programs online without being in person, and will that work? Will people still be able to follow the process? And so that was our purpose of connecting and collaborating. And then in addition to that, to be able to talk to you guys who have been doing the passion mapping work for a while, and to see how that's influenced you and the people that you've worked with is really a blessing, I think, particularly at this time when so many of us are in varying stages of lockdown and not quite sure what the future holds or will look like. So Jolene, besides your travel, is there anything else that you've had to sort of pivot or change in terms of your work with passion mapping?
Oh gosh, it's been such, I mean, it's been what, 11 years since I did first map. So like a lot of things, there's a term, am I on my map?
Yeah.
Almost like one of those touchstone stones. So I don't know if it would be without having the context of my map. And I'm looking at it, and there's so many little fun aspects to it that I I could at any one time. I'm a big meditator. Well, my brain doesn't always want me to, but you could just focus in on one part of your map and kind of and journaling. I like to journal too. So there's a lot of ways to use it as a tool. And I've got 9 grandchildren now, that part of it has kind of, I keep adding to that part, because there's 9 little babies on that map now that are such a big part of my life. They're all in different parts of the country, so I don't get to see them, but they're definitely an aspect of my map that keeps growing. So I think it needs refreshing once in a while. And it's just, so I don't know quite how to answer that, because it's just such a part of who I am. But there on the bottom of my map, there are like the pillars of who I need to be. And that's the check-in point. So there is some aspect of, am I, like, meditation is part of it, being spiritually inclusive, radically inclusive, being playful and creative, and just that, I call it red shoe awareness, because that's Dorothy, Wizard of Oz story.
Yes.
Very much so. And then physical, because I used to run a lot of marathons, and I'm on my game when I'm physically fit, and that's been a challenge with this pandemic.
I was going to say, how do you run marathons at the moment? You can't, obviously.
And I haven't run one in a while, so but still having that vibrancy, that's part of one of my foundations and the pillars of how I. So that's part of how the map helps me too, is to. Stay grounded. Where, and if I'm off kilter, then chances are I'm not, you know, firing on all cylinders on one of those areas. So,
Well, Jolene, we are out of time already, and doesn't it go quick when you're having a chat live on air and then you look down at the time and go, oh, I need to get off air. Jolene, thank you so much for joining me on Radio Tony as part of the Passion Project today. I very much appreciate your time over in Arizona. It's it'll be quite late for you, late for you. I'm grateful that you've taken the time to be on Radio Tony today and participate with this whole Passion Project, and your ability to tell people what it means and how it can impact their life is really important, and I'm appreciative of your time today. So thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to our wonderful technician, Don, who's going to take you out with the outro of the show, and we'll join you all next week live on Radio Tony and the Passion Project on BBS Radio, this time next week. Bye for now. Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now. For joining us on Radio Tony this week. Tune in next week for the next episode of Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Live streaming each week, part of the journey. Discover your passion, learn about your purpose, and connect with Tony and Peter. This show is proudly brought to you by Passion Maps. https://www.passionmaps.com. That's www.passionmaps.com. Live passionately every day. Use the code TONY to register for your own online deep dive program with Passion Maps. See you all next week. Bye for now.